this is KLOI 102.9 LPFM, Los Pez Island, Washington. This is Carol Steckler with another interview in our series called Talking Trash. We're actually in Friday Harbor today. This is the first time we've done an interview over here, and I am talking with Frank Mulcahy, who's the Public Works Director, and the staff person who worked, other staff person who works with him, Sam Gibney, and she is the Solid Waste Program Administrator. And Sandy Bishop is also at the table, and she is the Director of the Lopez Community Land Trust, and also on the Managing Board of Lopez Solid Waste. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for your time. And Frank, I'm going to start with you. Could you tell us, we're going to focus today on the county solid waste transition from running the solid waste facility into private, into contracts with, well, right now two of them. I'm going to let Frank talk from here on. Frank, so.
Oh, well, I'll just tell you a little bit about my background. I was a Navy officer for 20 years and retired from the Navy, and this is my first job after the Navy. Interestingly enough, we didn't do a lot of detailed solid waste operations with the Navy bases. We would normally contract out collection, and it was about as simple as that. So getting here was a real education in how solid waste really works from an operations perspective. I actually arrived here October 17th, 2011. So we're approaching my two-year anniversary as Public Works Director. And interestingly enough, the parcel fee vote was held the following month to determine which way that the solid waste program would go. So it really was an eye-opening experience for me.
You were there from the very first vote that was to determine your future.
Sure. And it was interesting, too, because I remember looking at the way the town was arranged. You know, getting past Lopez Island, just the way the town of Friday Harbor, how we had a site that we leased from the town, but we operated as part of the county, and now, as a result of the vote, we'd be looking at operating with a third-party contractor. And I thought, boy, if there's a way to complicate that even further, I don't know. That's about as complicated as you get. So that one was a puzzle, and I do remember saying, boy, I hope I don't have to pull that one off. And literally, I think at this point, we are now reviewing a draft contract with a company called Lautenbach and a draft lease with the town of Friday Harbor, and a very complicated arrangement that's been very difficult to get to. But
yes,
almost after 2 years from the day of that parcel fee vote, we're finally getting to the point of getting a final contract
all
approved,
right,
and a final lease.
Well,
so
we're been really proud on Lopez Island to have been the first one to sign the contract, and I know you were an important part of facilitating that.
Well, that was an interesting ride, though, because
yeah,
that one we were heading in one direction and we made a right turn very quickly after it was ruled that the port could not
right,
take over that. And that's really the, everybody at that point and 2 years ago was, oh, the Port of Lopez is all on board to take it over. And it wasn't certainly a done deal, but it seemed like a lot of momentum was going that direction.
Right. There were a lot of research and meetings taking place that, Sandy, you were a part of that too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As I recall though, Sandy, you always had in your back of your mind, well, that might work, but there could be other options.
Mm-hmm.
I always kind of remember that public voice at meetings.
Yeah, yeah, and that was, it proved important.
Yeah.
Because like you say, until you sign on the bottom line, I think one has to have a few fallback mm-hmm. positions, because everything doesn't always go the way that one would think. And when it was deemed illegal, we then had done enough other research to be able to almost step in without losing a lot of ground.
Yeah.
And suggesting something else.
Yeah, because I remember in detail the way I was approaching it then, because we really hadn't thought through this whole Lopez Solid Waste Disposal District, is we were going to do an interlocal with the port. Now we were shifting gears to do an RFP,
yes,
a request for proposal, so that
yep,
a nonprofit like SWAP could come in and
yep,
propose.
Yep.
And I think that was the way we were heading. Of course, the one issue with that is there was really no tax base.
Uh-huh.
That could be tapped for that, and that really was deemed important. So
yep,
that's that whole idea of the solid waste disposal district, which has taxing of power that
yeah,
the port has but couldn't use it.
Yep.
So that was the great idea that really surfaced. And
And I think it's pretty unique in the state of Washington, would you say, from what you know?
Oh, it is the most unique solid waste disposal district. In fact, I've always made the joke, and it is kind of funny, that there's 4 solid waste disposal districts in the entire state of Washington, and 2 are in San Juan County. It's just a unique
perspective. No, I say that, too. I actually do say that.
Yeah, and then looking at the two, the differences are, one is just purely for tax purposes to raise money, the general district of San Juan County, but the other, Lopez, it's a vibrant operation.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really meant to have management part of it. So,
and you know, our listeners and I too am really curious about what words. Okay, so here you are. There's this transition. It was a big turn to whatever direction you want to say. I don't want to get politically right or left, but it was a big transition. So, what were some of the road marks or targets that the solid waste Lopez had to present and proof or show the county before you were willing to sign a contract?
Well, I think the biggest one, as I remember, and Sandy can chime in any time, but I remember budget being very central, and this was driven, I think, by the previous council's concern that it was just a very tough operation to run and make a profit. And I think that was the biggest concern, was budget, and I think that was our biggest worry. And we looked around Lopez, and to be honest with you, at the time, knowing that we had Dan Post in the port really working hard, we were a little worried. We said, who's going to step up and actually be able to talk money? Mm-hmm. And we knew Sandy, of course, had been working with us. But really what the surprise for us was Bruce Krepp stepping up, mm-hmm. and Larry Eppenbach. And these guys coming in with the briefcases, and we're like, whoa, who are you people? And we're like, we're talking about budget. We're talking money. Mm-hmm. And Paige Reed stepped in. And really what was the most impressive about at that point was the business-like approach to it. You know.
Well, it was an interesting blend, too, because Sandy's approach was from a private nonprofit. Reed's was from an entrepreneur and a small businessman. Larry had been in public service and in government. And Dan had been, you had a whole blend coming from different disciplines who are really, so how was that for you to sit down and talk to these people? Oh, say that again.
It was lovely. Because here's what, I've always been a big believer in synergy about getting a group together who had different perspectives and different backgrounds that, where there's a weakness from one person, there's a strength on the other that counterbalances it. So someone's like, well, I know all about this, but I couldn't tell you how we're going to do this. And then the other person says, well, your stuff's great because I had never done that before, but I'll tell you how to do this. And they just take all the weaknesses away and they build on the strengths.
Right.
And that's that word synergy means synchronized energy. And so there was all this energy. It was all different perspectives. They had everything covered and they synchronized nicely together to work together as a team. And when there were disagreements, we were able to kind of step up and reasonably address them and say, okay, I'll give here, but we can give there and we'll get everything worked out. Beautiful. So I think it was a very lovely way to go.
I did forget that the military was also there in terms of your background.
Well, and Paige Reed, who used to be a former Navy officer himself.
He was a Navy officer, yeah.
And a submarine one at that.
I just love these stories of, like you say, it's a great word, synergy. So you report to the council, is that right?
I do. Through the county manager. It's been one of the trickier parts of the transition. It's one thing to transition a solid waste system, but when you have, let's see, 1, 2, 3 different councils and they have different makeups. We went from a 6-member council to a 3-member council, all in between.
Could there have been more transitions?
And that's right. And we're trying to carry this thing through. So, you know, interestingly enough, the one nice thing has been Lopez went first. It went in December. And it showed the new councils that, yes, this can indeed work. So that was what was nice about it, that we gave them some confidence to say, well, if it's working with Lopez, it's a little different scenario with San Juan and Orcas, but it can still do it. We can still, you know, go.
Now, I want to bring you in, Sam, because you came, you just said, in January during all of this.
That's correct.
And so what was your role when you came on board in January, and what is your role now?
So my role was to really oversee the transition of both Lopez and Orcas and San Juan Island. Lopez had actually just transferred a couple days before I started my job, yet there were still a lot of questions of how things were going to work between the county and the district. And and then I have been negotiating contracts with the vendors and with the town of Friday Harbor for the other two islands. So I've been working with Paige Reed and the managing board, and I think that
multifaceted teamwork approach really has carried over into operations as well. And I have been duly impressed with the professionalism and at the same time the creativity of the group. And they do everything from really, you know, balance everything down to the penny, literally. I mean, we are oftentimes talking about, okay, that $1,000 is really going to make a big difference in our budget. So I know that they're minding the P's and Q's with that, but then also talking about how do we continue to innovate and move towards this much larger goal of beyond waste or zero
exactly.
waste.
So, and you'll be leaving that position, I understand.
I am. I am transitioning in yet another transition in the county to take over as interim director of community development and planning next week.
And you hope to have all those contracts signed before you leave or close
to it? I will. We hope to have the San Juan Island contract moving back to the town and having them review. We just met with a prosecuting attorney. We're now ready to send that to the town. And we have worked out that I will continue with that in my new position, and I'll still be carrying that contract and hopefully we'll be able to carry that ball across the goal line here.
Oh, that's great. The good planning. I mean, I'm just really impressed with county employees and managers all the way down to who's at the front desk. Again, with the integration of using the strengths. And sounds like you guys have really done a great job, and as has, I believe, Lopez solid waste. So, Sandy, what was your experience in developing? You were working with Frank as one of the managing. How did the managing directors get appointed?
Well, we submitted our names to the council.
Okay, so the council decided.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's how it works, and that's how it will work. We are on 2 and 4 year terms.
Yeah.
So that's my understanding of how it will continue to work. Names are submitted and then appointed.
Yeah. So given that then, and you were appointed, as were Paige Reed, all these names that were mentioned, Paige mm-hmm. Reed, Larry Eppenbach, Dan Post, transfer over from the port.
Yeah.
You and Bruce Krebs.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you to work with these folks and try to, you invented something that nobody had seen before.
Well, the attorney for the port was really, really helpful in this. We had looked a couple of years back at forming a Lopez Solid Waste Disposal District and then put it off the table. It seemed too cumbersome, and we thought, why have yet another entity when the Port of Lopez is perfect for the position? But when it came right down to it, their attorneys suggested that it was not in their best interest to do that and could even possibly be an illegal activity. We sat down between the port and the prosecuting attorney and some of us that have been involved and kicked around that idea of a Lopez Solid Waste Disposal District and really decided that was in the best interest of the long-term goal for Lopez that Lopezians had really talked about. You know, we looked at the goals, and then we said, what is the best vehicle to get us there? And that became it.
And at what point did the Frank and the county get involved in that dialogue?
Right there. That was in June. Mm-hmm. And in August, we had to have our budget, that whole conversation had to be. We had been working a lot with Patty Miller. She was the chair of the council at the time. When Frank came, it was a real breath of fresh air, because Frank is a very straightforward and real straight shooter and very organized. And we knew we were all just working towards achieving the goal. And there weren't any needless roadblocks put up. I think one thing that we really appreciated happening from the county is if they saw something and it appeared to be a roadblock from their position, they would present it as such. We would all look at it and then figure out a way to move on. So really, it was, as you say, the synergy. Mm-hmm. You know, it was synergy between the council, the Lopez community, the Lopez Solid Waste Disposal District board members, Public Works, you know, all of that. And then when Sam came, we were really excited because we thought, wow, here is a place where Public Works, through the solid waste program, can look overarchingly at the county and help us to coordinate this Beyond Waste, some of the programs that were going on. Now, as you mentioned, you're now transitioning out, and of course, some of the contracts are still needing to be signed. So we haven't really, I think, as an entire county, really had a chance to really give fruit to some of these programs in the way that we can. But I trust that will still be happening.
Yeah, I think... I think that's coming, and I think that when you do these large programmatic changes, some things just they really do take time. And it, from a government perspective, I will say this has been happening at lightning speed.
Yes.
Truly, this kind of innovation is really remarkable, and I think it's also prudent to really, you know, take some time to work some of the kinks out. And I think that the Lopez Solid Waste District has really been doing that. And unless, you know, your listeners think that it's all been milk and honey, because of course there have been, you know, concerns. One of the big concerns that Public Works had is, okay, here we have a group of volunteers that's never run a solid waste facility before. And that was, you know, very, very concerning to us for a lot of different reasons. You know, everything from safety to can they actually, you know, keep things moving off. Thankfully, you know, you have alleviated those concerns, and they really have stepped up to our expectations and beyond. I mean, the competency that's been displayed can't be underestimated.
You know, I have to say that at all levels. I mean, I think this is a great time for us to wave our flag or whatever. I don't forget the flag part of it, but innovation was a really important word, and good government. I mean, this is good government. It's certainly on a small scale, but good government can be replicated all the way up the line. And I'm excited to have an opportunity to report this and also be a small part of the Lopez Solid Waste District. I came in late. I started in, I don't know when, in June or something like that as a volunteer coordinator. So, and Bruce Krebs, the first thing you said that was the most important thing to the council, and it's been one of the most important things to the community, is fiscal responsibility. Mm-hmm. And when I interviewed, Bruce Krebs did a really good piece on the budget and on the upcoming levy, and closed it by saying, oh, you got to go talk to Frank. He really is a great guy. He really made all this happen. He understood how to work with a group of people who were working with each other, and he trusted us as volunteers. That, I mean, all of that seems to be just key. I'd like the word innovation, too. What, Frank, talk a little bit more about how it's been for you. I imagine it's been kind of exciting.
It's been hugely exciting, because, I mean, I felt one of the problems we had is that bureaucracy is bureaucracy, and then when you have three different islands, there's this tendency of, well, we run it like we do on San Juan, and one size fits all tends to be the easy answer of the day. When in reality, there's a lot of little unique things about each island, the way they operate, that you want to kind of let go of that. I remember when I was in my job interview, I was asked, well, you know, how do you feel about islands doing things different or islands doing all the same way? And I likened it, I told the story of a study I'd taken in the Harvard Business School course that I took in, and it was about Home Depot. And that the idea was that they ran their stores, they had a 70% common inventory, but 30% were unique to that store, and it was at the discretion of the store manager. So if it was in Orlando, Florida, or Chicago, Illinois, or Maine, that store manager had 30% leeway to kind of tweak things the way that they wanted, because they thought that's what their customers wanted. But 70% remained common. So if you can think of things like light bulbs or lumber, okay, everybody, it's pretty common everywhere. But snow shovels may not go so well in Orlando, but boy, you sure need them in Maine. So that market was going really well, that philosophy. Then a new person, I'm not sure the name, I want to say it was Bob Nardelli, but somebody from General Electric came in. And General Electric was famous for, we all do it the same way, regimented, systematic, and changed that philosophy to 100% common. And boy, everybody had snow shovels in Orlando. You had more snow shovels than you need, but there weren't enough umbrellas for the sun, and you get the idea.
Yeah, it's not fiscally... possible.
So
to
right.
run the business that way.
So this is why the synergy is great, because yeah. the islands sometimes tend to be like, no, we're totally different. We should be doing everything unique. And then there's this group that says, no, actually, you're not as different as you think. There's a lot of commonality between Orca, San Juan, Lopez. So to find that balance and harmony, that was the real cool thing about it was, yeah, you're right. These are the common things about moving garbage that doesn't matter where which island we're on. Volume has a play, but still, at the end of the day, it's about the same, and we learn from that. But we learned on Lopez, boy, love to separate the recyclables, but the trick, as Paige Reed will tell you, is baling. Got to have that baler. So it's a very unique thing that maybe the other islands will take a look at.
Yeah.
And so that goes to commonality. If you're going to separate, separating is great, but unless you bale it, that's the true thing, how you take a very small-scale operation and make it economically sustainable. That's the idea of the innovation that I love. And I thought, man, you're onto something. And we finally freed you to really go for that. And they're going to try some things, and they're not going to work out. And it's okay with that. Orcas will do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are the great things about the innovation.
It's a great business model, really. I mean, it, along with meeting the needs of a community where you can build community support, it's a really effective business model. I happen to be just an observer at all the meetings around preparing the 2014 budget. And so when you talk about commonality and differences, there is a fair amount of time spent deciding what format to use to present that budget to the council. And it generated a lot of interesting perspectives and dialogue.
Yeah.
And right down to that level, and that was, as you said in the beginning, one of the most important ingredients in the contract. I think it's one of the most important ingredients for voters to understand about when they vote for this levy, that this is a really well-managed and very deeply thought-out business model that fits with the kind of planning you're doing at the county level. And you've only been here 2 years, is that right?
2 years, yeah.
2 years. So you were in the beginning of this too.
Mm-hmm. But
isn't this lucky?
Well, yeah. It is more than luck, right? I just want to say
leadership. Thank you.
Leadership matters.
Yeah.
This wouldn't have happened a few years ago in San Juan County.
Yeah.
It never would have gotten off the ground.
Yeah.
So when Frank came, it became a possibility because of his leadership style, but also his experience and background. You know, he looked for anchoring points and said, well, as long as it's anchored in a good business and we have, you know, people set up that understand how to, even if they don't know all the ins and outs of how to do this business, they understand the ins and outs of business. So he was able to say, yes, there are risks, but they are so anchored in good practice that those risks are really minimized. And so, again, I just want to say leadership matters, and it really matters when you're doing something like a on the ground as solid waste.
And I think that you're correct, the leadership matters, but it's also the rigor that's involved with everybody coming in, and what you're saying, that, you know, that this being anchored in good practice. And while there's a lot of innovation and creativity here, there's also this compliance with good practices and standard practices.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing to be creative about how you're going to sort your waste and what markets you're going to find. It's another thing to be creative with your accounting methodology.
Or where your revenue's coming from.
Exactly. And so that has been, I think, a hallmark of the Lopez Solid Waste District, is really being able to practice the discretion between where can we be creative and where do we really need to follow the standard practices. And that, I think, keeps that anchoring and keeps it from kind of, you know, spinning off into, well, we thought we had the cash flow. No, I came to one of their early meetings, and they were just minding that cash flow literally down to the $10. And you have to do that with a startup like this. So
absolutely.
I think it's that anchoring in experience from perhaps other realms, but that anchoring in good practice. I think that one of the other places where that shows and what is different about the that your business model is the use of volunteers and the number of hours and the very real monetary value that that brings. I mean, I don't believe that you'd be able to do the source separating that you do without your volunteers. And when you show up there, they have their orange vest on, they have their correct shoes on, they are directing traffic. There's nothing happenstance in the midst of all of this very, you know, Lopesian, we're all meeting and having our weekly get together at the dump event.
Yeah. Well, it occurs to me that Frank, you and Sandy must have both been just ecstatic when the vote came in on the levy last year. You must have been an affirmation of all the work you've put in when Lopez citizens voted 85% or 80%, 85, I think. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, it was an interesting challenge because, I mean, we were really at the first parcel fee vote trying to figure out what the vote meant in terms of Lopez voters. And there was a lot of misconceptions out there about what it meant, obviously, and there's still today. But at the end of the day was, well, if Lopez does not support vote, we thought Lopez would vote to support the parcel fee to keep the dump open. And when it didn't go that way, everyone's puzzled. Well, that must mean that Lopez voters don't want the dump or don't want to pay to support the dump. And I'm like, I'm not so sure of that. I think a lot has to do with the trust between the county and the citizens and how they felt taking the money off island to only get maybe a portion of it back wasn't that great of an idea. So I think that was it. So it was kind of like, but we didn't have anything that really said this is going to work or this is not. So when it went very far, 85%, I said, well, at least we have certainty now that the overwhelming majority. I mean, if you wanted to require a supermajority of 67%, you would have been well past that. Yeah. So this seemed to be a very good thing. It wasn't just one of those borderline votes. It was a clear statement.
And, of course, we're still, this is the second year until we get the amendment to the state constitution. We're going to be voting in the Senate every year. And everyone had a reason they voted it the first time, and everyone will have a reason this time. And that's what we're trying to provide all this information, so people can at least make a reasoned decision based on their some clear understanding of the facts and history. And I can't say enough. And you mentioned in the beginning SWAP, and they're still very active. And there's one fiscal part of that that I find very interesting. SWAP is the nonprofit arm does fundraising and education for the Solid Waste District, but they're totally separate. And they pledged, I believe it was $27,000 the first year, and as is often common in any budget, even nonprofit budgets, you don't count donations as part of your revenue stream when you put out a budget, especially a startup. And they're coming through, and they put another amount in the budget this year, actually as part of the revenue stream, and that was after a year's success. That was validated by you and by the county, by the council. And another innovation, and really revenue streams, they're pretty cut and dried usually. That's a really unusual, but for Lopez, important change. Anyway, I thank you so much for being here, and I just hope all of our listeners pay attention to all the information that's out on where we are with the levy that was going in the mail today. Our ballots are being mailed this very day as we speak. They're probably at the post office now. And you'll get them tomorrow or the next. Well, you will have had them by a few days by the time you hear this this program. So thank you so much, Frank and Sam and Sandy, for giving us your experience at the wild ride it's taken us to get to where we are. Is there anything else any of you would want to say?
No, just again, I'm very appreciative of the group over there. They continue to do great work. The site's cleaner than it ever has been. I think people are happier with it, and all I keep seeing out of them is more and more good ideas on how to serve their customers better, how to create different hours, it's a great mindset, how to serve the customer and keep this whole thing afloat. So that's the one thing I wish the county had done better over the years, is found a better way to satisfy its customers' needs, particularly China, like I talked about before. A little uniqueness is good to try to really make their customers have a good experience. And we're hoping that that same thing will happen on Orcas and San Juan as we transition out.
Well, I hope so too, and thank you so much for your work as public servants. I'm just really grateful to sit at this table with you and hear how you supported the people and are still supporting the people on the islands and the way Frank talked about. I just can't see how grateful I am to have a government that we have that kind of relationship with.
Okay.
So, and thank you so much for listening. Again, this is KLOI 102.9 LPFM, Lopez Island Community Radio.